Today we're starting a new series, and I was a little bit dubious, I guess, about advertising too much what this series might be about. And I kind of put it on Facebook about midweek, and then we've got to put it on the website as well. But you know, I'm a little bit cautious that who's going to turn up when we say that we're going to be talking about generosity. That's what this series is about, you know, because people are first going to probably think that what we're going to be speaking out over these next 3 weeks is about money and about parting you from your money. And so I want to make a promise to you that this series is not about money, okay? Okay, some sighs of relief. But today's about money. Oh, and you're here already, you can't get out, and we've locked the doors, so there's no escape. No, we haven't, the doors are open. So today we're going to be talking about financial generosity, and I put it at the start of the series because I was worried you wouldn't come if we put it at the end. But we're going to be talking about how our finances work with generosity. But what I'll promise is that we've already done our offering, so there won't be another offering at the end. Okay, whew, yeah, keep your wallets in place. I won't be doing any emotional plea. There won't be a giving plan of $29.95, and there won't be any clock radios if you give over $100. Okay, so none of that is going to be part of our talk. Actually, where we're looking at today is the opposite of a once-off gift. Right? It's the opposite of kind of random giving that when you feel your heartstrings pulled that then okay you give to that. It's the opposite of that, because instead what we want to be speaking about through this series is how we can live with an open hand, how we can be generous throughout our whole lives, not just when we're emotionally feeling like we should be generous. So how can we live a lifestyle of generosity? And specifically, we're going to be speaking about financial generosity now, but really the series is talking about whole of life generosity. Now, it's true for my children. I don't know if you've got children, if this is true for yours, but my children learnt the word mine long before they learnt the word yours. It's actually a counter kind of cultural thing. It's a counter personal thing for us to think about blessing others and being generous to other people. It seems much more natural for us to take whatever is ours and keep it and to spend everything we have on us. And so I recognize that this is going to be opposite to what we're used to and to what we hear in the world around us. So with that kind of in mind, I thought to myself, well, who do I think are generous people? Who in the world would I kind of put my mind to and think, well, they're generous? And so I thought first of the kind of the super rich. Because, you know, when we think about other people who are nowhere near us, it's easier to kind of look down on them and say, well, you know, the super rich, they should be generous, right? They've got so much money, they better be giving it away, otherwise we'll be really upset because we expect people with a lot of money to give, right? Makes us feel much more comfortable if they're giving. But we also have to give ourselves, right? So we're not just looking at the super rich, but my mind went to the super rich. And I searched and had a look on the internet, and there was heaps of sites about the top 20 like generous people, generous super rich people in the world. And as I had a look through, I thought, oh, this is really interesting to find out these people who are just incredibly wealthy, how they've given away chunks of their money. And it was interesting looking through these different people, but what I found through looking at this, it's really hard to define someone generous. It's hard to pin it down as to how would you define this? And so on these websites, most of them kind of said, okay, well, what they're currently worth versus what they've given away over their lifetime. And as you look through the list, you're going through and thinking, wow, some of these people have given away incredible amounts of money. But does that make them generous? And so there was another kind of like scale I use, a percentage, and they said, well, okay, well, what percentage of their current net value have they given away with over their life? And out of the top 20, suddenly it shifted from being a list of who gave away the most to who gave away the biggest percentage, you know, as I'm looking through in my mind. Probably the majority of these top 20 gave around about 10% of what they have currently away, which made me think again, okay, well, wow, That's what these websites are calling generous people that they gave away 10% of what they had. Okay, so that's interesting, right? 10% seems to be, for some people, generous. So I thought to myself, if I had a packet of Tim Tams, and everyone likes Tim Tams, everyone understands Tim Tams here? Okay, yeah, we like Tim Tams. If you had a packet of Tim Tams, and you gave away, like there's 11, I looked into it, there's 11 Tim Tams, and if I had to, you know, eat a few, just to, but if you got a packet of Tim Tams, and you gave away one Tim Tam, if I was up here and I had a packet of Tim Tams, I gave away one Tim Tam, and you're all looking, thinking, wow, I hope I get that one Tim Tam. If I gave away one Tim Tam, would you say that I'm generous? No, because I just ate 90% of the Tim Tams, right? So I wouldn't be called generous if I gave away one out of a packet. And neither would you say that I was generous if I won a crazy competition that said that I get a packet of Tim Tams a day for the year, so for 365 packets of Tim Tams. In the first week, if I went out and gave 90%, if I gave 10 out of the 11 Tim Tams in my first week, I went out and gave 10 Tim Tams away and ate one. At the end of that week, I would have given away 70 Tim Tams. I would have given away 90% of what I have. The newspapers would all come in, wow, isn't he great, so generous, amazing, incredible. But for the rest of the year, I gave away no Tim Tams. Would I be generous? No. I gave away a lot at the start. I started really well, but then I kind of got into a pattern of really enjoying Tim Tams, and now I'm 400 kilos, but you know, I'm really enjoying the Tim Tams myself. If I started out giving away 90%, but then for the rest of my life, I gave away 0%, you know, for a year, it ends up being about 2% you end up at if you just gave your first week away at 90%, the rest of the year ends up just under 2%. Would that person be generous? Well, no, we wouldn't call them generous. So when we're talking about this word being generous, what does it mean? It doesn't mean a once-off gift. Because all too often, I think, when we think about ourselves as being generous, we look back and think about the time that we were generous. And maybe we were praised for that generosity. Maybe we did a good thing. Great. If you did that, I don't want to downplay how good you were at giving that one time. But generally, over our lives, it's difficult to be generous people. To go on giving throughout our lives, it's much easier to just look at the one point in time or the few times that we've given. One of the guys that I learned a lot about generosity from was a youth pastor that we were volunteering under when we lived in England. He was this little Scottish bloke, lovely guy, and he was incredibly generous. When youth group would start, he'd be up on the front door, you know, marking kids in, or someone else would be marking kids in. He'd be kind of just hanging out there, talking to kids as they come in. And if someone came and said, oh, you know, I don't have any money, as England's at pounds, right? And I don't know, like £2 or something like that to come into youth group that night. Oh, I don't have my £2. He would dig into his own pocket and pull out £2 and said, oh, that's all right, mate. He'd say it in Scottish accent. Oh, that's that's all right. And he'd pay the $2 of his own money to let this person in. I thought, wow. Later that night, almost every time this had happened, later that night, there'd be like a tuck shop thing there. And he'd go up to him and he'd be like, oh, you've got no money. Hey, can I buy you, he'd call it a can of pop instead of soft drink, right? So, can I buy you a can of pop? And he would buy this kid a can of drink because they had no money coming to youth group. Yeah. My kind of inclination in life is probably a little bit different. You know, I look and I'm like, well, why? They came. They know it cost £2. You know, why didn't they come with £2? But here he is. He's giving away his own money, showing that his generosity is something of a lifestyle habit that he had, because his desire was to actually see that kid realize that the most important thing in that night was that young person came along to the program, that he didn't want to turn anyone away. He would pay out of his own pocket. And this didn't happen just with, you know, youth group. We would go over for meetings and he would have an open fridge policy. All the other youth group leaders just be getting drinkly drinks and all this kind of stuff. The pantry would be open. They'd be eating everything. I couldn't bring myself because I wasn't very Christian at that point in time. And I was like, you know, when you come over to my place, it's not an open pantry policy there. And so, you know, like I've learned a lot over the time. But you know, like I could look at him and see, wow, how incredibly generous he was. And when I look at this, the flow of his life, and I guess the flow of people that I see who are generous, especially for him, I can see the purpose and the point of why he did it is connected to who he is. You know, in the book of Matthew, Jesus says that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So where your money is, if you invest, if you give to something, we'll dig around a little bit, have a search, because that's probably where your heart will be connected to that thing somehow. And as he gave, I knew that you dig around, you find out where his money's going. His heart was there too. His heart was for these young people to come to know Jesus. That was what his end game was. And he would say, like I'd ask him, you know, why do you just keep paying for these kids? They clearly come without money. They might be using you. He's like, man, it's a few pounds. He'd say, aye, it's a few pounds. And I'd be like, what? Like, yeah, but it's a few pounds. But he's like, no, it's not about the money. You know, if no one pays, who cares? It's about these kids. And I could see that the heart that he had, he realized something about God that I needed to learn, which was that God is incredibly generous. If you look at the world that we live in, God's incredibly generous. Reading through the Bible, we see at the very beginning, the world was created and the oceans were filled with fish. The land was filled with animals, the sky filled with birds of the air. There was so much plenty that God looked and said it was good. We go on and we see how the animals and the plants and the people are thriving. And it was all because God created a world that had a generous amount. There was enough in the world to look after the people, the animals, the plants. That God created a world that was plentiful, that allowed and enabled and encouraged people to flourish. We then look and we see as people grow, cities are built and there's materials to build with. As the population grows, people start becoming inventive and they start, you know, making things to make life easier. We then find that the materials under the ground become just as important as the ones above it, as oil and coal and iron and minerals have kind of found in the earth. And then over the last probably 50 years for us, we start to realize, wow, there's even things like the sun and the wind and the oceans we can start to generate electricity from. Where the future for us is really looking at where sustainable sources or, you know, things from out of this world can help us to be able to create energy. So we start seeing this amazing picture of this plentiful God that knew from creation to the end what we would need and supplied a world that was incredibly generous for us to live in. And then God looked at his world and he saw the biggest problem with his greatest love, which are his people. The greatest need was that they couldn't keep his commands. They couldn't keep obeying him. They were separated from him because of their sin. And so this incredibly generous, loving God came down and lived amongst us. He saw our problem and so came up with an incredibly generous solution, which was that he would go to the cross, that he would die on the cross to take away our sins. And if you look at it just as a commodity, a trade, like a, you know, in kind of banking terms, it's kind of like killing an ant with an atom bomb, you know, like Jesus came to deal with sin and he died. He gave himself. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And where we see God's treasure, his activity, his involvement, his life was given for his heart, which is us. So we start to get this picture of an incredibly generous God that we serve, that we love. And we come to think, well, if that's a picture of God, then how are we meant to live? What's our response to God's incredible generosity? And so it is that we must learn to be generous people. Now, when we think about generosity, though, oftentimes we kind of think, well, where my heart is and where most people's hearts are at is at themselves. So where their treasure is mostly spent on themselves. In Australia, if you look around you, you'll see that, you know, people have a great need to live in bigger houses, drive nicer cars, eat better food. All the things that we give our treasure to oftentimes are mostly benefiting the people who have the money in the first place, not to give it out to other places. And so when we look at this world around us and we start to think, wow, well, where are people's hearts? Well, we can see where our hearts are because it's connected to our treasure. We can see that our hearts are for ourselves, wanting to give. And we think, wow, we're incredibly generous because we give lots and lots back to ourselves. But generosity isn't about giving to ourselves. It's about giving to others. It's living with an open hand so others can take from us and benefit from us. Actually, the crazy thing in our country is that most of us are so generous towards ourselves that we live outside of our means. We give to ourselves even more than what we get in. Worse than that, our governments are happy to do the same and keep borrowing so that we can keep being generous to ourselves and make a bigger problem, because as soon as debt comes into play, we've actually got more to worry about. We've got a bigger pile that we have to kind of deal with of money that we don't have enough to be able to pay it off. And we get really depressed and sad. And we don't want that, because where our treasure is, our hearts are, and our hearts are within us, and we want to make ourselves feel better, and so we go out and spend some more so we can feel better. Which makes a bigger problem. You know where we're going? Like, that's because our hearts, our focus too often becomes that we need to be generous towards ourselves. Yet the Bible speaks of a different kind of generosity. And the passage we're probably going to come back to a few times in this series is from Proverbs, which Proverbs is a wisdom book in the Bible, and so it's a collection of so many wise sayings that if we could live by them, then wow, we would live incredible lives. And in Proverbs 11, verse 24 and 25, it says, "One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed." This is an incredibly deep two verses that explain to us what generosity is. Well, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. It's a weird kind of transaction that this is saying that if you give something, then you get more, even though because you've had to give something, you have less, you will get more back. It sounds like an opposite, right? It doesn't sound like that makes sense. Actually, Paul, when he's quoting Jesus in the book of Acts, he says it's better to, that Jesus said, it's better to give than to what? Receive. We've heard that before, right? It's better to give than to receive. And some people are thinking, yeah, but I really like receiving. You know, like, I love getting. I'm probably one of those other people that Jesus missed talking about. But Jesus even says it's better to give than to receive. And this passage, one person gives freely yet gains more. How is it possible that we could, by giving, gain more? Another withholds unduly but comes to poverty. So someone else holds back what they have so they don't spend, and then they become poor as a result. What an interesting way to kind of look at life and to get our heads around. No, that doesn't make sense. If I withhold, that means that I get to keep more. I can spend more on myself. But this parable and Jesus' words tell us that the more that we give, the more that we get back. The more rich we are towards others, the more that we live with an open hand, the more that God can bless us. There's a promise in the Bible that God will bless us because of what we give out. So God's going to be working in that. And that's not always a monetary blessing back to us. There are many different ways that God can bless us. It will be that other people will greatly thank us and appreciate us for what we've done for them. It will be that as we start opening doors of generosity to others, they'll open the doors back to us. It will be that we get this incredible sense of joy within our hearts that we've actually cared for someone else who couldn't otherwise have cared for themselves. When we went over a couple of months ago to Myanmar, and I showed this picture of when we gave out these Bibles. And I'm in the picture giving out Bibles, but the Bibles weren't given from me. They were given from you. And it's my hope that as we show this picture, that our hearts might kind of be warmed and excited that there are hundreds of people now in these internally displaced people camps, these refugee camps within their own country, that there are hundreds of families now who now have God's word to be able to read and learn for themselves because of your giving. Isn't that great? I get excited just telling you about how great you guys are. But how exciting do you kind of think, oh, wow, I played a small part in being able to put a Bible in someone else's hand. I played a small part in being able to put something precious into someone else's life. That was my giving, did that. And so when we read, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Now, don't you feel refreshed when you give? Don't you feel great when you're able to be involved in something that's greater than yourself, that makes you think, wow, I was involved in that. I was used by God to be able to help other people in their lives. We're incredibly rich, but if we use all of our wealth for ourselves, then we'll actually end up being poor. We've got so much. And I know there are people within our church family who don't have so much, but as a society, we are incredibly rich. So how then can we use that to bless others? I thought of three ways that we might be able to kind of look at generosity, especially in a financial sense, and to turn that into something that we could use to bless and help others. The first thing I thought, Tash, is copy the actions of generous people. I'll put my hand up and say, I'm not naturally generous. You know, there are some people who just seem to have a gift of generosity. There are some people who just seem to be naturally born. Maybe they were around people who are generous. It seems to just come to them. But that wasn't my experience. I'm not naturally generous. If I wasn't a Christian, I don't know. I don't think I would give away much at all. But so if that's your case, then look around you and see someone else who's generous and copy them. For me, it was that youth pastor who I was kind of volunteering under. You know, when I started becoming youth pastor, what did I have in my pocket? A few dollars. We were still $2 to kind of come to youth group, but I always had some money in my pocket so that if a young person came along and asked, I don't have any money tonight, well, that's fine. Here, take my money. You know, I'll pay for you because I know that it's important for you to be able to come here and hear about God's word. That's so important. So I tried to copy what my friend did because he's a generous person. So how do you become generous? If you're not naturally generous, you just copy someone else who's generous. You know, try to look at ways that other people do life and imitate them, imitate their actions. I've moved a long way. We have much more of a, we have an open fridge policy. If you come to my house, I'm not going to like yell at you if you open the fridge and help yourself to something inside. And that's dangerous because we've got a meeting tomorrow night. So, if you're coming to that, then no, feel free. You know, help yourself to what's in my fridge. I've shifted because I look at life and I think now, I want to be wise with how I spend my money. But at the same time, I want to be open with how generous I am. Why is that? Because God was incredibly generous to me when he allowed me to be called his son. And so I can't outgive God. He's way better at giving than I am, but I want to follow God. I want to follow his patterns, his ways. And so I'm going to look at his people who are generous, and I'm going to try to act like them. The second thing that I think is important is that it's not a formula, but a heart motivation. Now, I would love if every issue that we had in life, there was a really simple laid out kind of dot points in the Bible. You know, like how do you be generous? I want to be generous. We all want to be generous. We want to be known as a generous person, not a stingy person. So how do I do that? God, just give me the dot points. You know, tell me how much I'm supposed to give. And that'll be easy for me to work out. It's not about, a percentage. Or it's not about an amount. It's actually about a heart. You look at the places in the Bible, especially where Jesus and the early church connects and sees generous things, and we find a lady who, when Jesus was watching people putting money into into the treasury, in the temple, that a box they were putting money into, Jesus saw one lady who put on the smallest coin and gave that, and said that she was the most generous, said that she gave the most. And everyone else was like floored because they thought that the most was a bigger amount of money. But he was looking at the heart of the giver. Out of her poverty, out of her nothingness, she gave, because she was trusting in God that He would provide for her. So giving has to, in some way, kind of test our faith. In some way, it has to kind of pull at us to make us think, oh, should I be generous? And that tension point is where, when we actually give, that's like that's a realization. My heart is generous. I am someone who wants to actually give. So be mindful. It's about a heart. There was another guy who was a tax collector, and everyone loved tax collectors, right? No, everyone loves tax collectors now, yeah? In the day, they weren't nice people. These tax collectors were really ripping off the people that they were taking money from, and everyone knew it, but they couldn't do anything about it. And then Jesus goes, and he shares with this guy, and this guy, who's been ripping people off, became a Jesus follower. And then he said, up to 50% of what I have, I'm going to give away. And Jesus said, wow, this guy gets it. This guy has learned what generosity is because he's had a heart change. Something's happened in his heart, and now he's willing to give up to 50%. Everything he has, he's starting to give away. Jesus prayed the 50% giver. That's worrying, right? I'm like, what? 50%? That's a lot. And then there were a couple in the early church, and people were giving away crazy amounts. People were just like selling their houses and giving everything to the church. And it was kind of like there's a lineup, and someone was like, oh, here you go, I just sold my cart. And it's like, wow, you sold your cart and you're giving away. Wow, that was an expensive, that was like a Porsche cart, and you're just giving all the money. Wow. And then someone else comes and says, I've just sold my jet. I don't know, whatever. You know, they sold my camel. Wow, you sold your camel. And this couple, Ananias and Sapphira, come up, and what they've done, they sold a block of land, and they had taken the money, and they looked and said, oh, we need this chunk for us, for our living, for our future security. I don't know. And they came and they said, keeping this money in the back pocket for themselves, they said, here you go, church. We sold a block of land. This is all the money we got for it. It's yours. And they died right then and there on the spot. Everything went quiet, right? That would have been a weird day in the church. Wow, someone lied to God about how generous they were. And if they came and said, here you go, here's the money. We kept some money. Here we go. Here's the rest of it from the land. We got 90% maybe. I don't know. Here's 90%. Wow, hear that, guys? Woo, they gave it. That's great. But because they lied, their hearts were all about getting the praise of people, for selling a whole block, giving it all away. Their hearts were actually not in the right place, and so they were judged for it. And so it's not so much about a formula of saying, you know, give this amount, you're generous. If you don't give this amount, you're not generous. You know, two teams. It's actually much more about the heart. The heart of the matter. Actually, I had an illustration. Sorry, Tash, we're going to have to go back for this one. It was kind of like, if you're thinking about how generous you are, and when you're thinking about where your treasure is, your heart will be also. It's kind of like if you think about going to the football on a Friday night, okay? Just, I know, it's a night that kids' church isn't, I mean, kids' club and hype and youth aren't on, so it's okay. But you go to the footy and you think, it's 2 hours between here and sitting in your seat at the football ground. So 2 hours before the game, you've got to kind of get your family and you go down to the Redbank station and wait for the train. You get on the train, you travel in, the train builds up, gets packed with people. You get to Milton station and you're walking in with hundreds, thousands of other people, okay, screaming fans and all this kind of stuff. Walking into the stadium, everything that you've got to do at the stadium, you've got to line up for. Everything you've got to pay, like for a drink, it's going to cost you 4 times what it would at Coles and Woolies, and like 6 times what it would at Aldi. Yeah? And you've got to, you know, sit on these hard plastic bucket seats for the entirety of the game. 50,000, you know, people around you, and they're not all talking PG, or, you know, some of them have got bad mouths and all this kind of stuff. And you're watching this game. At the end, you pile back on. It's 10 times more crowded because everyone is leaving at the same time. Packed like sardines, literally into this train, and you're jammed in. Everyone's kind of like, oh, sweaty and don't touch me kind of thing. And you got your kids with you and your family, and you go back and you go home. It takes 2 hours to get back home, and for that, for the privilege of that, it costs you about $200 for the night out with your family. 80% of people here, maybe 90, would look at that and say, oh man, are you insane? 6 hours just to watch, you know, an hour and a half game, you know, $200, you know, that's crazy money. The rest of us would look and think, wow, what an investment in my family. 6 hours of quality time with the kids. I get to enjoy with 50,000 other brothers and sisters, you know, who love the same thing, you know, lining up. That's just part of the experience. It's great. Getting on the train is good. Being with other fans is great. It's an experience. It's something that we're going to love and cherish. $200, here you go. That's easy money. If you ask someone who doesn't like the Broncos, you know, their treasure, their heart isn't with going to watch the game, then, man, you're insane. I can't imagine it. But on the flip side, wow. If you put it different, yeah, I'll put it in a different way. I had to really think about this one. If Kirsten came to me and said, oh, we're going to get a babysitter and there's this new romantic drama just coming out in the movies, it's going to be so wonderful. We're going to go to the Cineplex rates, $6.50 each. That's insane, you know? I look at that and I think, no way. I'd rather pluck my eyeballs out with a fork. But, you know, when you're looking at the two, and I had to look through some photos to get that one, all of them were like a couple kissing and... These are not Christian movies, all right? You know, as your pastor, stay away from romantic dramas. But you know, again, you know, for maybe a larger percentage than 20%, we'll probably think of that. Oh, wow, that'd be a great way to spend a Friday night. The kids are looked after, babysat. We'll go out. You know, that money, that's easy to spend. Why? Because your heart's in it. Where your treasure is, where it's easy to spend money, well, you know that your heart is around that same thing. Where it's easy to spend money, those places are going to be where you dig around a little bit and that's where your heart is. And so when we talk about giving to other people, your generosity, well, you need to think, well, what is it that I find really easy to give to and what is it that I find really hard to give to? Because what's easy to give to is where your heart is right next door to that. It's right with it. It's together. So I guess we need to question, are we generous with our hearts? And with the whole formula thing, it's not about kind of saying a formula, but I will say that it is a lot easier to make sure that there is some sort of plan to your giving. And that's the third point. There really needs to be a plan to your giving, because if you don't plan to give, then oftentimes what happens is you just wait around until the heartfelt offering gets kind of like given to you where you're kind of sold, this is what we've got to do to, you know, there's a temperature gauge thing or whatever it is, and you give to that. But that could be months between the next time that you need to give. You know, that could only happen once a year. And if we're only giving once a year, we said earlier, you agreed the Tim Tam story, that's not generous. And so how do we kind of turn our hearts to make sure that we're giving regularly, that we have a plan? Well, one way the Bible speaks about it is to make sure that you give first, that you plan out how you're going to give. You give out of the first that you have, not out of the scraps left over at the end. That you give with a heart that's generous, which means that, I would look at it and say, well, what percentage can we give? And through your life, you'll get more money, and so that percentage will help you to kind of stay the same. But it might be that at a certain point you realize, wow, I've got more margin. I've got more money. I need to up my percentage. And sometimes things are going to be really lean, and we're going to have to drop that percentage. But when we plan out our giving, then it helps us incredibly to be able to be regularly generous. When we plan out our giving, we start to think, well, how can this help and bless others? You know, me, when I kind of look at this, I look at what we have as a church. I mean, I'll put my hand up. I get paid because you give, okay? Elephant in the room, you know, I'm speaking to you. But honestly, I get paid. Monty gets paid. We've got, you know, admin staff, cleaner. We've got lights to, you know, keep on. All this kind of stuff. It costs something. So practically, there's a reason why we send the bag around and we ask offering. But you know, practically, but realistically, our intention, our you know, what we speak to you as a congregation is not, hey guys, we've got to keep the lights on. Can you give money? It's all about heart. If your heart is connected to where your treasure is, if your treasure is in God and in His church, then it's going to be easy to give. And so I encourage you, plan that out. Have a think. Talk to each other if you share money together with someone else. Talk to that person about your giving. Are we happy with this? Are we set? Are we okay with how much we're giving? And I'll give you a a promise, something that I spoke about a while ago that resonates, because I know you've spoken to me about this, is when you go to the plaza. And I mentioned that when people are there who want to ask you for money, I have some tactics about, you know, diverting my eyes and trying to make sure I don't get their attention, because I can't stand talking to these people who want to come up and ask me for my money. But my motivation in doing that isn't because I don't want to give them my money. It's kind of a little bit that, but it's more because I don't want to waste my time. And the reality for me is I have a plan and I know what I give to and I love what I give to. So when someone else comes to me and asks me about giving to their thing, I'm not very willing to give to them because I've already got a plan. I've already researched what I give to. I've already considered what it is we as a church do. I've already had a look at where we give our money as a church into missions and other things. I've already considered some of the outside of church things that we give to and the once-off things that we often ask about that help people. Because the way I give, I want to know where that money's going to go. I want to know that it goes with a Christian ethos, that it's going to go with some sort of resemblance of the gospel going with it. I don't want to just give away to good things, and there's so many good things out there. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't give to good things. I'm just saying if you've got a plan and you know how you're giving, then it's easy to say no to something you don't want to give to. And you don't even have to lie. Isn't that good? Christians, we don't want to lie, do we? Do we? No. So when someone comes up to me and says, oh, can you give to this, and gives me a great story and my heart melts and all this kind of thing, I can look them in the eyes and say, no, I won't be giving to this. They don't often listen to no because they've been trained not to, but I can say with confidence, no, I don't want to give to this because I'm comfortable with what I'm already giving. And I'm not saying comfortable because I'm really happy to give away, X amount of dollars, but I'm comfortable knowing that what I'm already giving is going to the right places and that God's already challenging me and working on me to give more to those things. That's where my heart is. And so I can say to you, no, with a clear conscience and walk on. And then they'll follow me. No, please, sir. But you know what I mean? Like, when you have a plan to your giving, when you know where you're giving it to, wow, it's so much easier to say no to the things you don't want to give to. So have a plan. Think about what you are giving to and know, am I actually a generous person? Because all of this, when we look at it, it comes back to looking at financially what we have. Do we see this as ours or do we see it as God's? I mean, where in our life can we look back and say, well, God, I had full control that I would be born in a fantastic country like Australia. You know, like I had full control that I was given a mind that's able to actually go out and work. I have full control that I have full faculties to, you know, to do what I need to do to earn my money. Where in our lives, you know, did we kind of do that? Yeah, I worked really hard at school. Yeah, great. I worked really hard at university, or, you know, I did really well in this job interview. Great. But where in our lives do we say, I did it all? It's mine. It's mine to spend. I can consume everything that comes in because I did it all. Or where do we look at it and say, well, actually, God, without you putting me in this country, without you giving me the brain, the skills, the character, the everything, then I would be nothing. So when I look at my money, I say, God, you've given this to me to manage. Now, how do I manage it well? Do I manage it well by holding it for me? Or do I manage it well by making sure that I'm generous to give to those who need, to be wise in that, to be mindful, to plan, to think. But are we people who live like that with our finances? Are we people who say, God, what do you want me to do with my money? Or do we hold on to it and try to make sure that we protect it with everything we are so that we can keep spending it on what we most love, which is oftentimes ourselves? I guess it comes down to a heart decision. Do we love God as we lift our hands and praise Him? Or do we really love us more? Because where your treasure is, there your heart will follow. Let's pray. Lord, I know this is a challenging thought that I know that you constantly work on us through. And so I pray that you'd help this not just to be a day's sermon, but to be a lifetime of change. that we might fully understand what it is to live with open hands and willing hearts to serve where you want us to serve, where we have willing hearts to be able to give to things you want us to give, and help our hearts to really be able to listen to those people who do ask us and who we do need to give over and above to. Help us to be willing to change to serve you as you want us to. Help us truly to have our hearts focused on you, Lord, because you're so generous to us. You've given us so much. We're so blessed. Lord, we want to turn that back, the blessings to you. I pray this, Lord Jesus, in your holy and mighty name. Amen. Amen. As is our custom after the service, if you need prayer for anything, then we've got people who would love to pray for you. So during the last song, if you would like prayer for something, please come forward, sit in one of the front seats, and someone will come and pray for you. Thanks, Steph.